Hello, and welcome to the Lyricord Early in Classical Music Podcast. I'm Mark Greenberg. My guest is classical guitarist and lutenist Jerry Willard. I last had the pleasure of speaking with Jerry when Lyricord released his collection of George Gershwin songs arranged for classical guitar, That Certain Feeling. You can hear us talking about that release on Lyricord Podcast number 19. Today, Jerry and I will be talking about his fourth and latest Lyricord recording, Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, 19th century classical guitar arrangements of several well-loved themes from the operas of Rossini, Verdi, and Bellini. Jerry's first guitar influence was his father, who took his son to Washington, D.C. to study with the renowned guitar teacher Sophocles Pappas. Later, Jerry studied with guitarists Richard Lurie and Elirio Diaz, both of whom influenced his musical and technical approach to the guitar. Jerry has been performing as a classical guitarist and lutenist since he was 18, both as a soloist and with various ensembles, including the Cleveland Orchestra and the New York City Opera Company. He's performed at Alice Tully Hall and Carnegie Hall, as well as throughout the United States and Europe. Jerry is on the faculty of the State University of New York at Stony Brook. His published guitar transcriptions include the complete lute music of J.S. Bach, the Library of Guitar Classics, and the complete works of Gaspar Saz. Welcome, Jerry.
Nice to see you, Mark.
Let's start with perhaps the obvious question. Why opera transcriptions for guitar, and why these particular transcriptions?
That's a very good question and a rather lengthy one. When I was a young man, I don't think I would ever liked opera. It was the last thing I would ever thought of from a little Ohio boy that was playing a lot of rock and roll and country western music. But around in my 40s, I got entranced, of course, with Mozart. Mozart was my gateway composer. He was the one that got me into opera. So about 5 years ago, I got married, and my wife and I bonded around the opera. And I was working on some new music and trying different things. And she came into my office and said, "Why don't you do some opera music?" And my immediate response, of course, whenever your wife tells you something, is, yeah, sure. But then I began looking through some of the opera transcriptions of the classical composers for the guitar, Giuliani and Merritz, both of which did an enormous amount of opera transcriptions. And suddenly I became totally entranced by this, and especially by Merritz, who really did transcriptions of many, many operas. I think he has an opus of 38 operas that he did, which includes Verdi, Bellini, even Wagner. So I picked three or four that I thought were really good, and I put them on this particular CD.
It would seem an odd fit in a way. Opera, which is so grand and dramatic, operatic in fact, played on the guitar, a rather quiet and intimate instrument.
Yeah, well, you have to remember, of course, in those days, there was no recorded music. So the only way that you're going to hear these medleys is to have someone come and play them for you. So Merritz and many other guitarists, as well as pianists too, use that vehicle to not only give them compositions to play, but to make a draw from the audience. So people would come to hear them, to hear how they would play it, but also to hear those tunes. So this gave them a chance to show off their compositional skills and their virtuosity.
Did you have to do any adapting or changing of their transcriptions?
You know, only minimally. Most of them were fine. One of the problems that I had was I played it on an original instrument made by Francois Lacote in 1820. And since it's a very old instrument, and some of it, some of the upper frets don't work particularly well, especially in the lower register. And so I had to rewrite just a little bit to make it work. With an instrument that old, the less work you do on it, the better. So I didn't want to have to change or have it worked on unless I absolutely had to. So other than that, that's the only changes that I made. Other than that, it's exactly what Merritz and Giuliani wrote.
Let's talk a bit about that guitar. As I understand it, it was made in 1820 by René François Lacote in Paris. How did you acquire it, and how does it differ from the modern classical guitar?
Yes. Well, I bought it about 25 years ago, and I was actually thinking, I was sitting at my desk, I was thinking about buying an arch lute. I just reached over to pick up the telephone, and it rang. And I picked it up, and it was a man that had this guitar that wanted to sell it. And it was at a very reasonable price at the time. And I became so excited by it that I decided I would, I was living in New York, and I decided I would drive to Cleveland to buy it. So the man who later was going to make my Baroque guitar, Patrick Caruso, jumped in the car with me, and off we went to Cleveland. So we got to Cleveland, I saw the guitar, I paid the guy in cash, and we got back in the car and we drove back. You know, it's really the joys of youth. I can't imagine doing that now. So we got back early the next morning, and I had the guitar, and I could see what it was. It sounded quite beautiful, but it needed some work. So I had it restored by a man named David Hershey, who was at that time restoring instruments for the Metropolitan Museum. And at first, I didn't know what to do with it. Because in those days, back in the 1980s, it was all modern guitar, and this idea of playing this period of guitar music was not fashionable or being done. So it wasn't until I had started working with a singer and who wanted to do some Schubert songs. So I said, well, why don't we do it with the instrument that I have, since that would be perfect for this period. And this was one of the most amazing moments, because I took this guitar that sounded so soft and gentle, and I took it into a hall, and it became a monster. It became a huge sound, and it was the most amazing thing, because it's so small, it looks like a toy. And yet it projects with such elan. It's incredible sound. As far as the difference of the instrument, it's fascinating, because the nut at the top where the strings are near the tuning pegs is quite small. And then from there, the strings fan out and get larger towards the bridge.
The fretboard gets wider.
The fretboard gets slightly wider. Yeah, it's very subtle. And so by the time you get to the bridge with the right hand, it's quite easy to pluck, because you have enough distance between the strings. And yet, in first position, the strings are close enough that you can play chords with one finger that you wouldn't dream of doing with a modern classical guitar. And the other thing that's very interesting about this is that during that period, it was very fashionable, a part of the technique, to reach the thumb around the top of the neck and to fret notes with the left-hand thumb. And this, for the modern classical guitar, is a big no-no. Had I done that with my teachers when I was young, I would have been showed the door very quickly. Always it was the thumb in the middle of the neck. But in those days, they went around quite a bit. And they marked this with an upside-down triangle, showing that the guitar should come around with the thumb and play that note. And this is very true in Mertz's music.
Let's listen to a selection from Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera. Anything you'd like to start with, Jerry?
Actually, why don't you start it with the first one? There's an Allegro by Giuliani.
Okay, here it is.
Thank you.
That was a selection from Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, the Allegro from Semiramide, transcribed by Giuliani. Can you tell us a little bit, Jerry, about Giuliani and his transcriptions?
Giuliani was probably the most important figure in the early guitar. He was one of the first guitar players that actually codified the notational system that we use now. And he was also one of the really early virtuosos, one of the great ones. He played with nails and was very much of a workaday musician. He was also very good friends with Beethoven and Hummel and other composers that were very prominent in Vienna at that time. He also belonged to a club called the Gesellschaft, the Ludlum Gesellschaft, which was a club, a secret society of these composers where they would compose things under pseudonyms. Mozart was also a member, too. And so he was very well known, and he wrote an enormous number of compositions. He almost was entirely focused on the music of Rossini. You could see in his music that he really loved Rossini. This Semiramide, the opera from the CD, he actually transcribes the whole opera. It's an incredible feat. One thing about the early guitar is that it's a short scale, and so it's very easy. A short scale meaning the length of the string is very short, and it's also tuned at a lower pitch.
So A is not 440?
No, A is 415, which is a half step lower. So what this does is it gives the left hand a chance to move very easily over the strings. And so you can do all sorts of pull-offs and hammers very easily. And Giuliani used that. So, and the reason I brought that up in this context is that when he would transcribe some of the operas, he would try to capture the bel canto, coloratura style of singing, heavily ornamented, and imitate that on the guitar. And so part of the challenge of playing it is to make that sound vocal and to make it sound easy. And in addition, of course, the guitar, playing on the early guitar helps enormously because it was meant to do that. So Giuliani's writing really brought the guitar and the opera style into that time.
And other than the greater ease for hammers and pull-offs, are there other differences between playing the Lecoq and the modern guitar?
Well, again, with a shorter scale and the lower pitch, things like different effects that are done on the guitar, like especially slides and glissandi, sound quite beautiful. And there's one piece in the Mertz where he does a version of La Donna Mobile, which is normally where the singer is sang quite up to tempo, quite brisk. But in his version, there's so many slides and glissandi to show off the instrument. I took the tempo down quite low in order that you could do those sort of whiny slides going up. And the guitar really presents itself quite beautiful in that sound.
Since you mentioned it, let's listen to La Donna Immobile. Jerry Willard playing La Donna Immobile from Mertz's Fantasy of Themes from Rigoletto on Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, his latest recording on Lyricord. Jerry and I will be right back after this.
Listen to what critics are saying about Jerry Willard's three outstanding recordings on Lyricord. About Jerry Willard plays, four centuries of lute and guitar. Unquestionable technical skill and superiority. Sparkling and entertaining, The New York Times. Displaying his talents on arch lute, Baroque guitar, 19th century guitar, and our modern guitar all within 60 minutes. Clearly a talented player, Willard weaves his way through this music with great sensitivity. Guitar Review magazine. And of the Baroque guitar, Peter Graham Wolfe of Musical Pointer says, "A delightful selection of music for his Baroque guitar, played with engaging flair and recorded with immediacy." American Record Guide exclaims, "Willard's approach to this music is elegant and graceful. If you enjoy the subtle charms of the Baroque guitar, this program is a delight." And about That Certain Feeling, Willard's recording of Gershwin masterpieces, James Mannheim of the All Music Guide says, "Willard's transcriptions are technically complex, free in rhythm, and evocative of improvisation, an unusual tour through Gershwin's hits with a consistently high level of playing." Guitar Magazine calls this release a beautifully crafted and inspired record full of the effortless charm and character one associates with Gershwin's music. And, coming soon from Lyricord, Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera, featuring instrumental transcriptions for guitar from the world's best-loved operas. All available on CD or for download from www.lyricord.com. Order the complete collection of Jerry Willard's recordings today.
And Jerry Willard is right here with me. Jerry, what was the most technically challenging piece on this new CD?
Oh, the overture to La Cenerentola by Rossini. I found that took some real time, mostly to make the pacing work. In a sense, the guitar really needs to imitate the orchestra. And so that when you're pacing it correctly, as you get towards the final, the coda of it, it really has to build the excitement. You know, so certain parts of the piece I would take a little slower in order that it would be more exciting later. And that was one. And then in the merits, I think the hardest one was Traviata, and not because of the difficulty of the music per se, but I found it very hard to get the proper pacing for that piece so that it really unfolded properly.
Let's listen then to the overture from La Cenerentola, transcribed by Giuliani.
Thank you.
That was the overture from La Cenerentola, played by my guest, Jerry Willard. Jerry, you've talked about Giuliani some. What about Merz?
Merz was born in Hungary, and his wife was a very fine pianist. So as a result, his models for the music that he used were more Schubert and Schumann. It was a later Romantic period. And he was a great virtuoso. Very little is known about his life, but he was quite prolific. And as I said earlier, he transcribed 38 operas, and as well as all sorts of smaller works. And he's considered today as being one of the great guitar composers of the 19th century.
Was he a guitarist also?
Oh, yes, very good. And he played a normal 6-string guitar, but he also played a 10-string guitar. He did a lot of touring. And I think these operas really show the kind of virtuoso that he was. There's a very sensitive side to his playing. In the four operas that are represented that Merz arranged, most of them are really medleys, like Rigoletto is really a medley. But there are two, I think, Traviata and Trovatore, where he actually creates a new composition, and some of the material that he's using as filler between aria to aria becomes so much part of the composition that they really work as a separate composition unto themselves. And so those two are my favorites of the CD, Traviata and Trovatore.
Let's listen to one of them. Which would you prefer, Jerry?
I would do Traviata because the opening of that opera is almost an exact transcription of the overture of the orchestra.
Here it is.
Thank you.
That was Johann Mertz's Fantasy on themes from Il Trovatore, played by my guest, Jerry Willard. Jerry, can you talk a bit without getting too technical about the recording process?
One of the hardest things as a performer for me has been going into a very sterile studio and having to record things. And sometimes it's not awfully easy doing that. The temperature's not right. You don't feel comfortable. And this way, you can do it yourself when you feel the right moment happening. Now, I don't always wait for when I feel good to do it. You have to be willing to really work at it. But it gave me the chance to work it out in a way that was comfortable for myself. The other problem with these instruments, and this gets a little technical, on the older instruments, the way the fret layout was, they would divide each distance by 1/18. So if you had a full distance from the saddle to the nut, they would divide that distance by 1/18, and that would give them the first fret, and then 1/18 would give them the second fret, and so on. They never took into account the string being pushed down changes that distance. So the Lecoq guitar is fundamentally out of tune. Now, on a live performance, you can play with that. But in a recording, it's deadly. You've got to be in tune. So many times, I would have to stop in the middle, retune it, and do it in the next section. Well, if that were a live performance, I would just go on right through it. You know, and it's just the nature of the instrument. Now, if I took the instrument and changed the frets and changed the fingerboard, then in a way, I no longer have a 19th century guitar. And I don't want to do that with with that instrument. So that's one of the dark sides of bringing an instrument of that period into the 21st century.
Yeah, that must be a challenge. Well, I think you've succeeded. Did you also have fun?
I really enjoyed doing this, and it opened up this music for me in a way that I had never thought. You know, I've been in the field for many years, and so I played these composers, and so they're sort of old friends, but I hadn't really seen this side of them. I knew that it had existed, but as I began to work in the music, and especially Mertz, I think it jumped out at me as what an absolute genius he was, especially as a player. And I think these operas really show that in his ability to use the instrument in a way that's very expressive and romantic. And some of the melodic work is quite beautiful. And the registers he chooses are just really right on. So that was a wonderful thing. And also, I think for me, I'm not an opera expert, but I'm a great opera fan. And my wife and I go as much as we possibly can. And it's part of my hope that this recording would bring people into the opera more, as well as the guitar world. Because you can see the connection between the two worlds.
Let's hope so. What about future plans? What's your next project?
Well, I mean, there are more operas there, and I have since looked at some other ones that I think are quite wonderful. So down the line, I'd like to do a second opera CD. Also, last year, I had the great opportunity of buying another 19th century guitar by Panormo. So I'd like to do some music on that instrument. In the 19th century, there were three guitars. It's called the Big Three of that era. The Stauffer, made in Germany, the Panormo, made in England, and the Lecoq, made in France. So I'm blessed to have a Lecoq and a Panormo. And the interesting thing about those two instruments, and the guitar players should hook into this, they represent two different styles. The Lecoq guitar is braced very much like a lute. You know, the wood underneath the top is all just parallel. There's no bracing. The Panormo is braced with a fan. So you have a brace and then a sled coming out to support the top. So in a sense, the Lecoq looks backwards towards the lute, while the Panormo actually looks forward towards the modern guitar. And you can hear it in the sound, where the Lecoq is more lute-like, while the Panormo is richer and sounds more like a modern guitar. So I'm hoping to do the next CD on that instrument, the Panormo.
Well, I certainly look forward to it. Jerry, thanks so much for coming in. It was great talking with you and wonderful to hear your latest recording.
My pleasure. Thank you so very much.
My guest on this Lyricord Early in Classical Music podcast has been guitarist and lutenist Jerry Willard. His latest Lyricord recording is Jerry Willard's Night at the Opera. I'm Mark Greenberg.
This program copyright 2010, Lyricord Discs, all rights reserved.